This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. Welcome back to the Relic Radio Show. Thanks for joining me this Tuesday. Start off this week with Bold Venture and the Tears of Siva, their episode from June 11th, 1951. After that, it's Now Hear This and The Emperor's Bathtub, their story from October 14th, 1951.
Bold Venture! Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance, starring Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall. Together in the sultry setting of tropical Havana and the mysterious islands of the Caribbean, Bold Venture! Once again, the magic names of Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall bring you Bold Venture and a tale of mystery and intrigue.
Slate, you should have been with us. Laid up for repairs on a jewel of an island and the girls with the wild orchids. Oh.
Be gentle with me, Joe. I'm a man of responsibilities now. I've got a boat and a hotel.
And me.
And her.
Every sea orphan to his own paradise. You found yours.
And he'd better not stray from it, or I'll beat him over the head with a wild kumquat.
You got yourself a tigress this time, huh, Slate?
Ah, a kitten.
You heard what the man said. A tigress.
Uh-huh. You signing on with the Tampa Victory again, Joe?
First mate on that stinking oil bucket? Oh, no, no. I don't need her anymore. We're done with each other. I just come off her for the last time.
Oh?
All I need is right here in this little package wrapped in Shanghai silk. I give it to you.
Why, thanks. We didn't expect it, did we, Slate?
Don't let the tears well up in gratitude, Miss Duval. You're only to keep it for me till I come back for it. Will you do that for an old seamate?
Sure.
In a good place where no one can touch a greedy finger to it, huh?
I see. We got a safe. Will that do?
Slate keeps all his valuables in it. His necktie. That does it. His necktie.
It's the best place we've got, Joe. How about it?
Just remember that in this bit of silk, you hold the rest of Joe Bishop's life.
I'll remember.
Then take it.
Hey, what's that combination again, sailor?
Don't bother to answer him, honey. Because he won't need it.
Who asked you, Buster?
Slate, be polite. He's got a gun.
You're cute, honey. Hand it over, you. The thing in your hand. Give it to Tommy.
You'll not take it from him. You'll not.
You know something? I bet he's dead. Anybody want to discuss it?
Yeah.
Don't, Slate. He'll kill you, too.
You'll read me, honey. Throw it on the floor, Slate boy. He does what you tell him, doesn't he, honey? Hold on to a man like that. And now Tommy's going to go away with it. Because right now, Tommy doesn't want anyone else to die. Mr. Cordovan. Mr. Cordovan.
Shut up.
But Mr. Cordovan, I brought the package. You said
my current suggestion to you, Thomas, is to shut up. Sit down and watch. Consider the beauty which surrounds you and savor it if you can. Sit down, Thomas.
Chorus girls dancing. Not supposed to send me?
See how delicate. That one over there.
She's fat, Mr. Cordovan. She's tattooed.
Primitive goddess. Primitive. Doesn't it Turn your blood to ice, Thomas, to realize we are here now beyond the reaches of civilization. A part of it.
I don't know what you're talking about, Mr. Cordovan. This is a crummy walk-down joint in Havana with a 50-cent table cover charge. Here's the package.
Thank you, Thomas. Did you have any trouble?
I killed a man.
Oh, I'm glad you did, Thomas. Another life, another death added to the fabulous tears of Siva.
Open the package, huh?
Of course. Thomas, gaze.
Uh-huh. How much are they worth?
The tears of Siva. The priceless tears without fleck or flaw, the treasure of the Far Indies. Genghis Khan laid a city to waste for these.
Look, all I see is two star sapphires. And all I want to know is how much are they worth?
They are priceless. Observe them. Pick one up and look at it. It will light up the whole room. Go on, Thomas. Pick one up and look at it.
Sure.
I first saw these beauties after a pick sticking with the Raja of Simulu. He showed them to me.
This is pretty.
Not the Raja of Simulu who played polo. The other one, the one with the wives.
This star sapphire doesn't light up nothing, Mr. Cordovan.
What did you say?
It don't even show a star.
What?
Maybe they're priceless because this Genghis character liked them. But from where I'm sitting, they're dime store items.
Let me see. What wild joke! Someone has bundled! I'll have his head, do you hear? I'll have his head!
Phony. I knocked off a man for two marbles.
Forgive me for losing control, Thomas.
Yeah.
Someone will die for this.
Yeah.
Mr. Slade, come a man from sea, who dream of violence, say do something for me. Say here is pocket, please put it away, I come back to take it on another day. Then in walk man with death in his hand, say hand over pocket in voice so bland. The seafaring man makes big protest, two bullets in chest, give him rest.
You think they did that, King?
A man finds peace in many ways, Mr. Slate. He only does not know when it is coming to him.
It didn't have to come to him that way.
Look, Slate, maybe Joe Bishop bought it that way. Maybe he could...
He tasted wild fruit on a tropical island. He didn't expect to end up on a slab in the police morgue.
The police will take care of it, Slate. They'll find his murderer. It's out of your hands.
Is it? Is that how you want it?
Whatever you want, Slade.
Take your hand off my arm. Just go get your coat. I want to talk to the skipper of the Tampa Victory.
Whatever you want.
Send him away, King. I'm not in to anyone.
I'm afraid I heard that, Mr. Shannon. One of my less exquisite vices, eavesdropping.
Goody. Now I don't have to be polite.
Thank you, sir. I have come to share your bereavement over the deceased, Joseph Bishop. And to ask if Joseph's dying song was for me.
Might have been. We couldn't make out the words. Joe's pain got in the way.
And he had no message for me, for Junius Cordovan, his intimate of many places and many memories.
No message.
The name of a port, perhaps, of a person, of a thing.
No name. Try for a number.
I have consumed your priceless time. Good day. And may the goddesses of, whatever be with you. May they indeed.
You know what's wrong with a roly-poly man? He's going through life thinking he's skinny.
Okay, Mama Freud. Just get your coat.
Do I have to, Slate? It's a warm night.
Where we're going, it might turn cold. Get it.
Think you're going.
Where's the skipper of this freighter?
Can't see him.
Joe sent us. Is that the way you say it, Slate?
Now look, let me handle it, will you?
Why'd Joe send you?
He's a friend of ours.
And Joe's a friend of the skipper's. Now we're all friends. Hi.
You got the makings?
What is Frisco do, you seafaring man, you?
He means the makings for cigarettes.
Oh. Here, they come all put together now. Take one.
Thank you.
Tell me something, mate.
Nope.
It's about Joe.
Nope.
Take the pack.
Yep. You were talking about Joe when I interrupted, mister.
Joe and the skipper friends?
They're going to milk cows together.
You can't get a lot closer than that, Slate.
Real close, them two. Since Port-au-Prince, they pat each other on the back every time they pass.
Yeah, how come since Port-au-Prince?
Since then, that's all. Since Haiti. Since the checker game.
You can have my cigarettes, too. Let's start with the cows.
Nope. Let's start with the checker game. Joe went ashore in Port-au-Prince. Didn't come back. Skipper chewed his pipe stem in two neatly. Tried to get another first mate. Couldn't. Called me. Skipper and me went ashore and found Joe.
Playing checkers?
With a lady.
What lady?
Owns the Sailor's Rest in Port-au-Prince.
I can hardly wait till the part about the cows.
They're going to milk them. Joe and the skipper. In Pennsylvania.
Huh?
Sure. Since Port-au-Prince, they decided to quit the sea. Going to buy a farm in Pennsylvania. And milk,
milk cows.
Yep. Something happened there in Port-au-Prince, mister. A man who sails the sea decides no more sailing. Something happened. Changed them two.
Let's go talk to the skipper.
Nope. Sleeping.
He'll wake up.
I tried to stop you. You'd knock me down, wouldn't you?
Make you walk the plank.
They don't do that no more. They're knocked down. Skipper's sleeping in his cabin.
Come on, sailor.
Try the door.
You want to handle this, or you're going to let me?
I'll try the door. See? Skipper's not a tidy man. Sextant off the wall. Coffee stains on the charts. And what a dusty compass.
Yeah. Look at the skipper.
Huh?
Come here. Look at him.
Oh, you should have just told me about it.
Stabbed in the heart. Dead. Now let's get out of here. We got enough fuel on Bold Venture to get to Port-au-Prince?
No, not quite. Why?
Because that's where we're going. We'll pick up some gas in Guantanamo.
The question's still hanging in midair. Why?
Look, two guys had a dream about owning a farm in Pennsylvania. One of them was a friend of mine. I've got a boat that can get me to Haiti. That's not very far to go for a friend.
What makes you think the answers are in Haiti?
Well, that's where two sailors suddenly decide to become farmers. Whatever brought them that decision also made them dead. Let's go to Haiti, sailor.
Looks like they're about ready to shove off, Mr. Cordovan.
Give me the glasses, Thomas.
Yeah. You might notice, Mr. Cordovan, that the boat and the girl make a pretty picture.
Shh, let me enjoy it.
That Shannon louses it, huh?
Seems very efficient. On your wanderings on the dock, did you find out the destination?
Yeah. A character whispered to me, Port-au-Prince, Haiti.
Well, here's some money, Thomas. Hire a plane.
Where to?
Port-au-Prince, Haiti. I want to give those two an interesting welcome.
Venture, our stars Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall, and the second act of our story.
You know what they say about this place, Slate?
I know what seamen say. What do they say?
They say when Paris catches cold, Port-au-Prince sneezes.
Well, that's not the way I heard it. The way I heard it, sailors... Those jeans you wear keep throwing me.
Then buy me a Paris dress. Maybe that'll make you remember.
Look, sailor, I...
Mille pardons, monsieur et mademoiselle. You are young in Haiti, no?
No.
Then follow me. $10, the guided tour, and you will grow old. But in ecstasy.
$1. $1 for a sailor's rest run by a lady.
The place of Mademoiselle Denise? For $1? Do not insult me, monsieur. I give you that for nothing. 12 Rue des Toussaints. Au revoir, my respectable.
And au revoir to you too, sailor.
I'm going with you.
Here's some money. Check in at the Elysee Hotel. I'll meet you there.
I'm going with you.
This is a sailor's rest, baby. How are they going to get any if they see you walk in?
Why, that's the nicest thing you've ever said to me. Come back in one piece, respectable Shannon. That you, Slade?
No, honey. But better open up, or we'll scream. Remember me, honey?
Yeah. You kill.
You're doing good, honey.
And me. Do you remember me, Mr. Val? Ah, you're enchanting, Mr. Val. You may shut the door, Thomas. And you may go through all the feminine galaxy of reactions, Mr. Val. Fright, terror, wonder, curiosity. Which?
Dibs on the last one.
Sheer delight you are, Mr. Val. Isn't she, Thomas? No, tear yourself away from us.
Ain't he the one?
I could lean out the window and yell. What's the French word for help?
Even if I told you, it would never rise to your classic lips, Mr. Ball. This gun would bury it in your throat. No. Let us just sit here in delicious contemplation of each other until Mr. Shannon brings us the tears of Siva. From there, I may improvise.
You run this place?
Oui. You want to play checkers with Denise, no?
No.
What do you want from Denise?
I want to talk to you.
Sit down, talk. We play checkers to prevent from boring each other, huh?
I'll take the black. You know a man off the freighter Tampa Victory, first mate named Joe Bishop?
Who are you?
Joe's friend.
Move a shekel. How do I know you're Joe's friend?
He died in my arms.
Oui. I look into your face, I see sadness. Your friend. Jump.
Yeah.
Two for one, you will lose. Joe dead, huh?
Uh-huh.
He was here. His captain came for him.
Captain was knifed to death.
It was the jewels. It was a bad luck, jewels.
I don't know what you're talking about.
The ones given to Joe by the Mama Loy.
I'm still not with you.
Mama Loy, voodoo lady. In the hills outside of Port-au-Prince.
Why did this, whatever you call it, Mama something, give anything to Joe?
Perhaps Mama Loy liked Joe.
Can you take me to her?
It's not allowed.
I didn't ask you that.
You wish to go to Lady of Voodoo?
That's the impression I'm trying to make.
Denise will take you later tonight. Now move a shekel.
I hope you know the way.
Quickly. Leah. Leah is hurt. Go to her.
How about you?
I wait here. Go. Mama Lo is expecting you.
What? How does she know
I'm... Go. Come in, Slate Shannon.
Yeah.
I am Tante Maria, and you are Slate Shannon, and you wish to know of Joe Bishop.
Those drums outside told you all that?
The drums, other things. Joe Bishop is dead, as is his captain.
Maybe you can tell me who killed him.
Those who won the tears of Siva.
That doesn't mean anything to me.
Two sapphires that I want to give to a sailor because I tired of rubbing them between my fingers. He told me he would return for them.
Sapphires? Valuable?
To me, no longer. To those who covet them, the wealth of kings.
You still got them?
Here, in this pouch. Take them, my son. Use them to find those who have struck down the sailor.
So I'll do my best. Denise, where are you?
Here, my Shelley, waiting for you.
Well, stop waiting. I'll race you back to Port-au-Prince.
That would be your Mr. Shannon with the tears of Siva.
How do you know? It could be the housemaid with knees to match.
A wager, dear woman. Your life against his. Let him in.
Go away, Slade. He'll kill you.
So unworthy of you, Mr. Val. Instead of frightening him away, you have only...
Sailor, what's it?
You have only given him into my hands. My compliments, Mr. Shannon. You're a gallant. I counted on that.
What are you doing here, Chubby? Huh?
The tears of Siva, Mr. Shannon. You have them?
Uh-huh.
They've cost me many tragic hours, Mr. Shannon. The hour when the seaman told me he had them, would sell them to me. The hours of waiting while Thomas killed him. The desolate hour when I discovered Thomas had brought me worthless baubles of glass. They will not suffer any more such endless agonies, Mr. Shannon.
Joe Devil crossed you, huh? I was going to sell you phonies while the real jewels were with a voodoo crone. So we could grow sapphires on a Pennsylvania farm.
The tears of Siva, Mr. Shannon. Death, Mr. Shannon, like this gun.
You don't want them, Slate. Give them to him.
Yeah. I'll do that.
Take them, Chubby. Yeah, I'll kill you. I'll kill you.
You ought to diet, Chubby. You're fat. You're starved. Exercise more like this.
You...
Pick up the marbles, sailor.
You'll not get away.
Watch him, sailor, run.
I'll have your heads. I'll have your heads.
Okay, sailor, take the wheel. Steady as she goes. We're running without lights.
Tired, Slate?
Yeah, sure I'm tired. I ran faster than the cops in Haiti ran. As far as I know, they're still looking for Cordovan.
Slade?
Yeah?
Do you think those sapphires will make nice earrings?
If you can get them away from the Port-au-Prince chief of police, said he'd take care of them. He'd send them back to that lovable old witch.
Oh, old Richard!
That's Cordovan, sailor. Give her the gun.
They're shooting at us.
Turn around, sailor. Head right for him.
Are you crazy?
Do what I tell you. Okay, steady.
We'll crash into them.
Just make a pass at him, sailor. Come as close as you can. We've got to take that chance.
What are you doing with that harpoon?
I've speared a lot of fish for this. Maybe I can get me a Tommy. Now, sailor, make your pass. It's yours, Thomas.
You've got good aim, Slate. Now what do we do?
Go back for the big fish. Steady, sailor. I'm going to board her. Steady.
Glad to have you aboard, Mr. Shannon. You've made a mess of things. You can redeem yourself by handing over those sapphires.
You think you can handle this tub with one hand on the wheel and one hand on a gun?
Exquisitely.
You've got one shot. After that, I'll get to you. If you miss me, you're dead. It's a lumpy sea, too. Well, Cordovan? Well? Did you miss? Now it's my turn.
Don't.
Oh, I can do this all night. Only you give up too easy. Sailor!
Everything under control?
Ship shape. I'm going to throw you a line.
Okay.
Got it?
I've got it. Secure.
Tow us in, sailor.
We going home?
We're going home.
Here, put this on, Slate.
What is it?
I bought it in Haiti, in a little shop.
I don't care where you bought it. Just tell me what it is.
Well, this part is a love charm. And this part is a long chain, so it hangs over your heart.
What'd you pay for it?
What difference does it make? Put it on.
Anything to amuse you, sailor.
Now that you've got it on, don't you feel anything?
Nothing. What's it supposed to do to me?
Make you feel love. It says so in the directions.
You better read the directions again.
All right. Oh, yeah. Here it is in small print.
What is?
I'm supposed to get inside that necklace with you.
Oh, I knew there was something wrong. Come on.
Now what does it do to you?
Well, we can take it from here. Throw away the directions, sailor.
And so our two stars, Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall, have brought to a close our latest Bold Venture story. Special music was composed and conducted by David Rose. May we invite you to listen again next week at this time for another exciting adventure starring Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall together in Bold Venture.
Broadcasting Company, in cooperation with the United States Navy Recruiting Service, presents Now Hear This, dramatic stories based on the personal experiences of those gallant men and women who embody the great traditions of a great service, the United States Navy.
Now hear this. The smoking lamp is out. The smoking lamp is out.
Say, I've got a little experiment for you. Go into the kitchen, get a can of sardines, peel back the top. Now squeeze yourself into that can, drop the whole thing into the bathtub. And you've got a pretty good idea what it's like to ride a submarine. The Navy calls it hard line duty and gives out extra dough on payday, and take my word for it, you earn that dough. During the early part of the Second World War... Now, it's funny how they number those things, sort of like they were expecting more. Well, anyway, in the early 40s, the Pacific Fleet was a handful of submarines. I was a chief on the USS Octopus, captained by Moon Mullins. We'd returned from a 40-day patrol, which had netted us exactly one small freighter. 40 days and nights, and all we had to show for it was one small freighter. Anyway, we were tied up at Pearl for about a week, being refueled, resupplied, and reloaded. We were itching to get moving. A couple of planes were overhead to see that we didn't have any unexpected callers. You see, there was a graveyard of ships around us as proof that it was possible to have unexpected callers.
Boss, get the needle in those hands.
Yes, sir. Hey, you guys on liberty or something?
What's a liberty, Daddy?
Very funny. You've still got two more torpedoes to get secure, Cat Eye.
Maybe I should carry him down on my back, huh, Buck?
I don't care how you get him aboard. Just get him aboard.
You hear that, Frankie?
I heard it.
Okay, start swinging her over. What a life those guys on the tender have got. Easy. Easy and on to the left.
Okay. Okay, lower away. Now slow. Slow.
Yeah, take it easy. Hey, cowboy, she's coming in.
I'm watching.
Hey, Cat-Eye, he's watching.
He couldn't see a torpedo if it was going right up. Hey, hold that second torpedo until we pass the word.
Can't wait till I get the chow.
Me neither.
Okay, start the second one moving.
Hey, I'm getting a sunburn. Look, Cat-Eye, a sunburn. How will I know I'm in submarines if I got a sunburn?
They can tell by the way you shake.
I don't shake much. Hey, a little to the left. To the left. Now, now, top of me, wise guy.
Okay, down now. Lower away!
On the border, cowboy.
I see it, Frankie.
He sees it.
That boy must have 20-20 vision.
Okay, we got him off.
Come on, Frankie, let's knock off and take a swim.
Hey, what did you two get a discharge?
Well, if it ain't Simon Legree.
Yeah, the torpedoes are all aboard, folks. Me and Frankie are going for a swim.
Oh, is that so?
I say what I feel like saying. I'm going to get in trouble.
You two are already in trouble.
What?
Get those magazines and papers on the dock aboard. When you're finished with that check with Cookie, make sure he's secure.
Ah, give us a break.
I ought to break both your heads. That is, if I thought there was anything in them.
It was a mistake.
Yeah, and a beauty, too. Start heaving those magazines.
Hey, way more than the torpedoes. Catch, can I?
Not at me, Frankie. To me.
Hey, I could be in the majors with this arm.
Yeah, use both arms, kid. Hey, folks, here's a movie magazine with a picture of John Bennett.
Let me see.
I thought you guys had decided not to whistle anymore.
Oh, boy.
And it brought daylight, too.
How did we know she was the Admiral's daughter?
Not that the Admiral didn't have a good-looking daughter, only... Well, there are just some things that a guy shouldn't do, and that's one of them. Well, anyway, we got the submarine loaded away from Pearl and headed west. The box score had the enemy getting all the runs, and the best we could show were a few scratch hits. The only big guns we had were 21 feet of torpedo tucked in the belly of our submarines. So we told ourselves nobody had ever batted 1,000, but we had a patrol behind us in which we only went 1 for 16. We didn't show something soon. We were headed for the miners.
What did the old man say, Captain?
Do you really want to know?
No.
Hey, he ate me out good.
Well, did you tell him we had 3 dud torpedoes? Mm-hmm. Did you tell him we'd have sunk 10,000 tons if they'd gone off?
Well, I told him. Would you like to hear what he told me?
No. Want a match?
No, thanks. I never smoke. As soon as I chew a hole through the mouthpiece of a pipe, I throw the whole thing away.
An expensive hobby.
Yeah.
You going to make a score this trip, Skipper?
Well, I hope so. Got a bet with Mike on the trout.
Oh, he's got quite a record.
Yeah. We're betting double or nothing on this trip.
Where are we heading?
Well, this red line is a Jap shipping lane between Osaka and Manila. There'll be plenty of ships around there.
Destroyers, carriers, battleships?
I don't think we'll be lucky enough to find a carrier, but I'll settle for a juicy convoy.
Captain, the lookout. What do you see?
Ocean.
Keep your eyes open.
I saw a school of porpoises, Skipper. Bet the swell fishing around these parts.
Yeah, well, there's better fishing in Tokyo Bay.
Anything you say, Skipper. Only don't say Tokyo Bay.
There aren't many secrets on a submarine. The word had been passed that we were headed for a point halfway between the Japanese homeland and the Philippines. It was a bowling alley. And they were tossing. Other men wanted action, but they also wanted to come back. Each hour brought us closer and closer to those smiling buck teeth. And the mouth was wide open to swallow us. The men on lookout, the men topside, were all jumpy. If you look out on a submarine, you'd better see before you're seen. Destroyers can travel fast.
I once saw a moon just like that in New Hampshire. We ain't supposed to talk.
I know that.
You were talking. I know that, too.
So shut up.
Check with the lookout, Larry.
Yes, sir. You see anything?
No, sir.
Nothing but ocean.
Keep your eyes open.
Aye.
All clear, Skipper.
Hear what he said, Cat Eye? Keep your eyes open. What else have I got to do?
You can keep your mouth shut.
Suppose I... Cat Eye, I think I got something. Look out, the skipper. Broad in the starboard bow.
Give me a bearing.
Sorry, sir. I guess I'm a little jumpy. I picked out a bunch of flying fish.
Better luck next time.
I could have swore it was a periscope track. Some sailor. Can't tell a bunch of fish from a carrier.
I said a sub.
Carrier, sub. They were still fish.
So I made a mistake, so kill me.
Hey, Cookie, send some hot Joe.
You want some, Frankie?
Ah, it keeps me awake.
Make it too black.
But it keeps me awake.
I know. I bet we don't spot a ship.
Bet we carry all our torpedoes back to Pearl.
You're talking again.
Bet we spend 40, maybe 60 days.
So, it concentrate on what you're doing.
Say, what are you, a big shot or something? What are you doing, bucking for Annapolis?
As a matter of fact, I'm bucking to stay alive.
Day after day, we cruised that patrol area and didn't even sight a raft. Lookout after lookout climbed up and down that ladder and always with the same result. Nothing. The cowboy kept his ear and eye on the sonar and picked up the same thing. Nothing. It sure looked like the Octopus was just a bad luck ship.
Cat Eye. Some name.
There's nothing to see.
You were the guy who said we had it in our pocket, but when the pool, hands down, you said. Hock the family silver and get it down, you said.
Nobody else won the pool. We're still in the running.
With 6 minutes left in this watch, some chance.
We'll get something.
Yeah, we'd better. If the captain doesn't spot something soon, he's going to beat us with Yokohama.
That's impossible.
You got to take everything I say literal, don't you?
You're talking again.
Stole that charter.
What did I tell you?
Just the same.
Throw it on the fort bow.
What do you see, Cat Eye?
Looks like a cloud, sir, but a funny kind of cloud.
That's worse than spotting fish.
Frankie, swing around and see if you can make it out.
Yes, sir.
Right on the horizon. It's just a wisp.
I don't see a thing. Must be a speck on your glasses.
Bearing 315. It isn't sitting like a cloud. It's wavering.
Larry says his boys have spotted something.
You got anything for me, cowboy?
No, sir.
Larry, anything new?
Same bearing.
Down to Cape on it. Maybe we'll be lucky, cowboy.
I don't find a thing.
Who's on lookout?
Frankie and Cat Eye.
Oh, Cat Eye, huh?
Sir, I could pick up a cork. I don't get a whisper.
Cowboy, I'm a great believer in comic books and modern science. When it comes to picking up a ship on the horizon...
You're the skipper. Only I'm betting on my scope.
Sailor, Cat Eye didn't get that name by sitting on backyard fences.
We're closing in, sir. Generated range 1,200 yards.
Think she's picked us up, cowboy?
No, sir. They've kept right on course.
Up scope. She's a big one, Larry. It must go 10,000. Maybe more. Take a look.
She seems to be alone. Hey, take a look at the deck.
Let me see. Planes, Larry. She's loaded with planes.
We've got to get this one, Moon. We can't let her get away.
Down scope. I want to get close, about 700 yards.
900.
Shipload of brand new planes.
Stand by one.
800.
Steady as she goes.
Ready one.
700 yards, sir.
Fire one.
One fired, ready two.
Torpedo running low, straight and normal.
Fire two. Two fired.
Two. Low, straight and normal.
Secure the tubes. Hot scope, I want to watch this.
We ought to hear it, Moon. We ought to hear it.
Yeah, the solution checked right on, Larry. Right on.
We couldn't have missed.
First one got home. Yeah, she's swinging right into the path of the second torpedo.
Fast screw, sir. On 033, they're coming in fast.
Destroyer, take her deep!
We pulled that ocean up over us as fast as we could. The destroyer dropped a few ash cans and then pulled away. We figured she went back for survivors, so we counted that one as a sinking, even though we didn't see her slip under. The guys were pretty happy. There was lots of backslapping. But a week later, we sighted a carrier, and she got away. We ran into a convoy and hit two tankers, but couldn't count a sinking. We spent 4 hours at 140 feet sweating out a depth charge attack. Another 2 weeks, we were down to one torpedo and less fuel, so we headed back for Pearl.
Not a bad score, Larry, but not a good one. I can't understand why we didn't run into something big.
It's going to be a pleasure to get back to Pearl.
I hope that we find something to use our last baby on. Hate to just let her sit there all alone.
Our luck's got to start to run.
Everything's secure, Skipper.
What's on your mind, Boats?
Well, the men sort of think we're heading for port. We've been out a long time.
Yeah, we'll pass
Skipper,
the word.
I've got something. Light screws. Bearing 085.
Up scope.
Nothing. Nothing.
There she is.
How about it, Skipper? We going to make a kill?
I don't think so. Take a look.
Ah, about 600 tons. Looks like a fishing... Wait a minute. There's a machine gun on the stern.
We can knock this off easy, Larry, but I don't want to use a $10,000 torpedo.
She's probably got a radio.
Haven't they all? Boats, get me four men to man the machine guns. Only four.
Yes, sir.
Surface! We're going to play soldier. Up the ladder. Don't fire till I give the order.
Keep your fingers on those triggers.
I'm going to give them a chance to abandon. Give me that megaphone, Boats.
Yeah, sir.
Put your small boats over the side. We're going to sink your ship.
Looks like they don't believe me. Fire!
Go for our engine, Frankie. He's catching fire, sir.
Keep firing!
They're abandoning Moon. They're diving over.
Cease fire!
He's going under, sir.
Well, I told him to abandon.
Sir, one of them's swimming right over to us.
Well, what do you know? We're going to have a prisoner of war.
Frankie, help him aboard.
Aye, aye, sir. Come on, you... I got him. Come on. Jump in.
Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you.
Oh, that's what they look like.
Take them along. Let's get out of here. They probably got a signal out.
All right, down the ladder. Down, like this.
Yes, yes. I understand.
Yeah, it's almost sunset. We'll stay on the surface. Tommy, make standard speed on two engines. Course 096 and start a battery charge when you're tuned up.
He's shivering. Yeah.
Frankie, toss him something dry.
Aye, sir. It's a little big, sir, but it's dry.
Oh, thank you.
I never would have believed that one of them would surrender.
You speak English?
Oh, speak English so much.
Must mean good.
A submarine go home?
I thought we were supposed to question him.
That's right. We're heading for Hawaii.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Hawaii.
Well, we don't like to inconvenience you, but we're running out of fuel and we just have to go to Hawaii.
When surrender, I think you go to San Francisco.
You mean you wanted to go to the States?
In San Francisco... have relatives.
You know, not all of us can be members of the United States Navy or one of the other branches of the armed forces, which defend our American democracy and way of life. But we can actively support our sailors, soldiers, Marines, and airmen by making donations of our own blood, which in many cases is the contribution of life itself. You see, the Department of Defense supplies of dried human blood plasma have been gravely depleted by the demands of the Korean campaign and must be replenished to give the greatest degree of protection to our men in the service. The need is vital, for it's essential that an adequate supply be maintained at all times, ready for the immediate use of our military men in any given emergency. Your Navy urges you to contact your nearest Red Cross office and ask where and when you may make your contribution of blood to our armed forces. And remember, when you make the gift of blood, you're also making the gift of life itself to those who have defended and are defending the principles by which we live, the Armed Forces of the United States.
We were still almost 2 weeks out of Pearl when we picked up our prisoner. By the time we docked, he was our number one mess boy. We wanted to keep him aboard, but the Braid turned down our request, so we gave him presents and he was shipped off to an internment camp. Okay, so he was the enemy. Only he didn't start the war. As a matter of fact, all he wanted to do was get to San Francisco. But Frisco was a long way away for all of us. We had 2 weeks at Pearl while a repair crew worked over our sub. Finally, the orders came and we shoved off. It was a beautiful morning. We all went up in shifts to take a look at those islands. You know, you get a funny feeling when those islands start to get mixed up with the horizon. But then you get a lot of funny feelings when there's a war on.
How many cards you want, cowboy?
I got enough.
How about you, Cat?
How much you standing an ace? That's 21. What are you, a wise guy or something?
Just pay off and hand over the bank.
Oh, you right. Sailors got a gambling license?
Who's gambling?
What are the stakes?
Who won't?
That's not what he says when he's losing.
Stow it. Here comes the captain.
So like I was saying, the Einstein theory of relativity can't compare with the progress that's been made in
All right, who's winning?
Well, I'm ahead a couple of... Now, who's talking too much?
Just see that nobody gets hurt, Boats.
Oh, I keep my eye on him, Captain.
How about a cup of Joe? That stuff they made for me this morning, we poured in the torpedoes.
We got some hot coming up in a minute, sir.
All right. Say, Boats, you collect souvenirs?
Well, I've been in the Navy over 25 years, sir. I filled up two trunks and then quit.
I collect souvenirs, sir. I've got a whole book full of them.
Don't listen to him, Skipper. He couldn't get a dame if he was shipwrecked in Hollywood.
Hollywood? Man, you ought to see what we've got in Texas.
Oh, naturally. You collect souvenirs, sir?
Yeah. I'm a great one for souvenirs. Gives you something to look back on when you get old.
Hey, it gives me a nice feeling to hear you say you figure on getting old.
Here's some hot javas.
Oh, thanks, boss. Yeah, like I was saying, some guys collect stamps.
I know a guy collected autographs. He was nuts.
What do you mean, nuts? Lots of people do that.
Autographs of wrestlers? He's nuts.
Well, I like to collect snapshots of faraway places.
Well, you can buy those.
Not the kind I want. I like to get them myself.
Hey, that's a good hobby, isn't it, Frank?
Oh, sure, a swell one. I might start it myself.
Yeah, same here.
I've got a swell collection from Africa, the Philippines. Now I'd like to get a few of the Japanese islands.
Any particular one?
Well, what I had in mind was a picture of Mount Fujiyama.
Yeah, that's a good idea. What am I saying? We'd have to go into Tokyo Bay for that.
Unless someone knows the shortcut.
I know it sounds silly, but that's exactly where we were headed. And since there was no shortcut, we pointed our nose right to the Japanese homeland. We weren't going to skirt the outlying islands. We were going right into Tokyo Bay. Start about parallel with Osaka and cruise up until we got into Tokyo Bay. Close enough to get a good picture of Mount Fujiyama.
Take a last look, Larry, and then come to my cabin.
Right, Skipper.
When you're through, go to 90 feet and keep us there.
Right. Downscope.
90 feet. Sit down, Larry. Enjoy the view of Japan?
Sure, but we can't keep hanging way out here forever. We'll get picked up before we have a chance to fire one.
I know. We've been here 3 days, but I wasn't going to make a move until it'd pay off. This has got to be worth the risk.
You think it'll pay off now?
Well, let me know what you saw.
Well, hand me that pencil.
Yeah.
Now, right here, there are two destroyers on patrol. We could knock those off easy.
I know.
But if we duck under those destroyers, and if we aren't picked up, there's a convoy assembling in the bay. Two tankers, an ammo ship, two troop transports. A moon, we can knock off 30,000-40,000 tons, maybe more.
Yeah, that's what I think, only we got to get out, too.
That won't be easy.
Supposing we slip in tonight the way they're lined
up now. They figure to stay that way.
That's right. If we can get into position, we should be able to get the two tankers, one transport with a bow tube, swing about 90 degrees, bring the stern tubes to bear on the other transport and the ammo ship.
Those destroyers will pick us up as soon as we toss our port torpedoes.
I know, but it'll be worth it.
Well, we didn't have to take that 90-degree swing.
We'd miss the best part of the kill.
You're the skipper. Only we're going to be a sitting duck if those destroyers get the jump on us.
Well, I think we got a chance to get away. What the Navy calls a calculated risk.
The guys trust you, Skipper. They figure you'll retire on pension.
All right, what do you think, Larry? Balance what we stand to sink against the chance of being sunk.
I'm all for it, Skipper, only...
Only what?
I just hope it isn't open season on ducks.
We lay about 8 miles off the bay all that day in case our pigeons came out. And then at 2200, we started to make our move. We talked in whispers. And when the cook dropped the pie plate, we almost brained him. We sneaked in at 150 feet and could almost feel the keels of those destroyers that were sitting on top. Cowboy kept his ear to the sonar and his fingers crossed. It could have floated a pocket battleship on the sweat that was pouring off the crew. Well, after what seemed like a million years, the nose tilted up just a trifle, and we came close to the top.
They pick us up yet, Cowboy?
No, sir.
So far, so good, Larry. Up scope.
100 feet.
The sun's coming up. Makes those ships stand up beautifully.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't exactly hide us.
They're still sitting there, Larry. Big as life. Twice as beautiful.
How many?
Well, the little tanker's gone. One tanker, two transports, the ammo ship. You can see the Jap sailors hanging around the railing. Take a look.
Thanks.
Those destroyers still around, cowboy?
Yeah, you know, big as life. They're still patrolling well astern. I just hope they don't point a nose this way. That's what I hope.
Yes, sir.
Forward room. Stand by.
Forward room, aye, aye, sir.
I've seen enough, Skipper.
Down scope.
Just don't let them be duds. Not at these odds.
Gotta make it look like Pearl. Like a graveyard.
Calculated risk. 80 guys.
Make them count, Skipper. Make them count.
Fire one.
One away, sir.
Fire two.
One away, sir.
Chest target.
Set.
Fire three. Fire four. Chest target.
Set.
Fire five. Fire six. Right full rudder. All ahead full. After room, stand by.
After room, aye, aye.
All ahead, one third. Rudder amidship. Steady as you go.
Stand by, seven. Fire, seven.
Destroyer coming up fast, sir.
300 feet, flood negative. Down!
Those two destroyers were on us like a couple of big cats. We ran for cover as deep as we could and prayed that we could get deeper. We heard the explosions of the ships we hit. Only at that minute and for too many hours later, we weren't interested in ships going down or staying down. We were only interested in when those depth charges would stop shaking our teeth.
How much longer, boats? How much longer?
That takes care of that.
My lips are so dry.
I wish I was back in Frisco.
You turning chicken, Frank?
Don't even say that as a joke.
I was only kidding.
Maybe you'd like to tell us why you joined up with the subs.
I can't remember. The air's getting worse, Boats. We can't take too much more.
We'll take lots more before it's over. Lots more.
I saw a movie about guys in the submarine.
But it was a German sub.
That's right.
And it sunk.
That's right.
This ain't a German sub. Say, that's right.
Not as close. They're still around, Larry.
I'll bet they've dropped 150.
They're getting off range.
I thought they had us when they dragged that grappling wire across the ship.
I'll never understand why they didn't blast us then. Think we got a chance?
Mm-hmm. One in 100. One in 1,000.
You nervous?
No, not anymore. I was when they first started to drop them. Just a matter of sitting now.
I'm nervous.
Sure wish you could play Pinochle.
Conning Tower, this is Sound. Is the captain there?
Here.
I was about to say, sir, the destroyers are still around, but I guess you know that now.
We sat all that day and all that night. And then we sat for the next day. Around about 1800, we stopped here in the depth charges, but still, we waited.
What do you think, Moon?
Might be a trap.
It's been 3 hours since Cowboy picked up a destroyer.
I know.
He might be in the clear.
I don't think so. Those destroyers cut out too fast.
Conning Tower!
What is it, Cowboy?
Sir, fast screws started up and passed overhead. Two sets. Moving away.
Well, track and let me know when you lose them.
So they were waiting.
Yeah, Skipper the Salmon told me about that trick. Come on, let's get to control.
Boats,
sir.
Tell everyone to walk easy. Ought to have the smoking lamp on in about an hour. And ask Floyd for a battery report.
Aye, aye, sir.
I'm losing the ping, sir. I think they've gone back into the bay. Probably heading for Tokyo Harbor.
And we'll pull out in a couple of minutes. Course 204, all ahead one third.
Did you want to see me, sir?
Yes, yes, you bet. Do what I told you, Frankie?
Yes, sir. Took me quite a while. 80 copies.
What do you got there, sailor?
When we were lining up those ships, I got what I came for.
Oh, brother. Wait until we hit Pearl. Wait until the guys see this.
Frankie, to each member of the crew, a present from their skipper.
Yes, sir.
Complete with the crosshairs of a periscope. A photograph of Fujiyama.
The pings have gone, sir.
Next, the Emperor's bathtub.
When we sailed into Pearl, we had a nice fat broom flying from our periscope shears. Cowboy got out his paint set and put our score on the side of the conning tower. We were a pretty proud crew. Every guy on the ship had a different story to tell, and many a free drink was lifted in toast to our ship and the crew. I heard some of the stories, and even though I was there, I found it a little hard to believe that one little submarine could hold so many individual heroes. But then I heard the captain tell his version, too. And his sounded pretty good. Every man on a sub is indispensable. We all win, or we all go down. So many heroes. And every one of them is right.
All hands secured until this same time next week.
The National Broadcasting Company, in cooperation with the United States Navy Recruiting Service, has brought you another in the series of dramatic incidents based on the facts and files of the United States Navy. In today's story, your narrator was Larry Haynes, and the cast included Lyle Sudrow, Leon Janney, Grant Richards, Frank Maxwell, and James McCallion. The program was written and directed by David Harmon and produced by Chick Vincent and Cy Levine, Jack Costello speaking. Tune in again next week at this same time when the National Broadcasting Company will once again present...
Now, hit it!
Next, listen for Tales of the Texas Rangers over NBC.
That's the Relic Radio Show for this week. Hope you enjoyed it. Want to find more old-time radio? Visit RelicRadio.com. You'll find past episodes of this show, all the other shows, and everything else Relic Radio. There's a donate button there as well if you'd like to help support this and all the shows. Thanks, as always, to those who have. Thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next Tuesday with another episode of the Relic Radio Show. Relic Radio Show is produced by and for RelicRadio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.